Blog Talk Radio.
Upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. With burnt offering and old burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks unto thine altar. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Else of Christ Ministries Presents, Proclaiming Jesus Christ Throughout the World by Honoring the Great Commission. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis, coming to you from Elmont, New York. We will be on the air every Wednesday and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will not be taking any calls, but if you have questions, please email us at hodminister@gmail.com, or you could write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. You can visit our social Christian network at www.myhocm.ning.com. Our Christian bookstore at www.houseofchristbookstore.com. Our online Bible Institute at www.houseofchristbibleinstitute.org. Our online Bible College at www.houseofchristbiblecollege.org. You can also visit our affiliated school of ministries, House of David Ministries, Inc., at www.reverseofrevival.com. And once again, we are pleased to announce that we have recently established House of David Ministries in Orlando, Florida. There is more to come on that. We believe in the Great Commission according to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark 16, verses 17 through 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It is very important that Jesus Christ died for us, and it is equally important that he rose or was resurrected from the dead. This act gave authentication to his claims that he was the resurrection and the life. Life and death itself are subject to his authority. To fully appreciate the statements that Jesus Christ declared in Matthew 28, verse 20, that he would be with you always, even unto the end of the world, we must define the word resurrection. What does the word resurrection mean? In the Greek, it is called anastasis, which means to make stand or rise up. It is the reunion of the bodies and souls of men that have been separated by death. With Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead came the promise that he would be with us, the Christians, always, not just on a good day or part of our lives, rather to the end or completion of this dispensation, which means this time period. In the Greek word, end is suntelia, pronounced suntelia, meaning entire, completion, consummation of a dispensation. The greatest benefit that we know of is eternal life. Resurrection, which affords us eternal life, is a great victory. And there are many other benefits that can be attributed to it. We must first understand that sin caused man to be dead to God and alive to his carnal flesh. The Bible says that God told Adam that the day that he would disobey him by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thus sinning, he would surely die. Jesus Christ's resurrection caused man to have the right to be alive in God through restored relationship offered because of Jesus Christ's shed blood and dead to the flesh, giving man a permanent or eternal victory.
I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell
godly leadership in our lives. We pray that their eyes will be open to the vision of God for our lives and ministries. We pray that they be not stumbling blocks to the call that God has on our lives. We pray that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and that every tongue that rises against them in judgment be condemned. We pray for the warring and protective angels to encamp around us and our families. We pray that the Lord will protect and guide us from every plot, device, and schemes of the enemy. We pray that we will prove God through obedience in giving of tithes and offerings. We pray that as we sow bountifully, we will also reap bountifully, knowing that we have all sufficiency in all things. We pray and give thanks unto the Lord for the provisions to build His kingdom and for the work we are called to accomplish here on earth. We pray for our divine health and healing in our bodies, soul and spirit. We pray that we will find life and health as we continue to put in God's word. We pray as we continue to put in the word that we would not only be strengthened in the inner man, but also in the outer man. In Jesus' name, I pray.
I can be completely yours.
Christ Ministries, Inc. is an outreach ministry that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ through a variety of mediums, from our radio broadcast, House of Christ Ministries, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission on www.blogtalkradio.com/Reverend Davis every Wednesday and Sundays, to our monthly mailing lessons, our social Christian network, our online Bible Institute and Bible College, our websites, our posting of words of the day on numerous websites throughout the world. We are reaching hundreds throughout the world for Jesus Christ. It is our desire to take the uncompromised and anointed Word of God to the whole world, starting with our local community, bringing lost souls to a practical relationship with Jesus Christ. Our mission at House of Christ Ministries, Inc. is to proclaim Jesus Christ throughout the world and prepare believers and non-believers to live independently and have dominion to reign over the enemies of this world. We encourage you to sow into this ministry for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and winning souls for the kingdom. Your prayer and financial support are an important component to bringing the gospel to the world. Together we can make a difference. If you would like to send your prayer request or share a testimony, or make a donation, please contact us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003, or you could email us at hodminister@gmail.com.
Lord, I thank you that even while I was yet a sinner, you came down and paid the price. The price that no one else could have paid as a ransom for my sins. Lord, I thank you today. I can't praise you enough, Lord, for dying for me. I was guilty with nothing to say.
continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our number one goal is Jesus Christ. Our mission is souls, and our vision is the last day's book of Acts. Jesus Christ is the predominant theme of the Bible. He is God. He became human being, died by crucifixion, was buried, and rose again from the dead. He is the only and the all-sufficient Savior of the world. Deity is the only possible explanation for all that Jesus Christ was and all that he did. He was pre-existent with God the Father. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. As we continue on this spiritual journey, proclaiming Jesus Christ throughout the world and honoring the Great Commission, our lesson for tonight is the end. In this series of teachings, we have studied how God created the earth and then space without planets or stars, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, which says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." We have examined how in the beginning that the waters on the earth were separated. Some of the waters were placed above the firmament, which is the sky, around and above the sky of the whole entire earth. God placed a canopy or ocean of water above the sky, according to Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, which says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and it divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. We have studied in Genesis chapter 1 that God created light from nothingness. He created the planets and stars. He created all living things. That includes sculpting man from the dust of the earth and blowing his breath into man, causing man to become a living soul or conscious. Everything was good until sin caused the corruption of God's utopia, thus causing it to head on the path towards the end. What is the end? I have heard so many theories about the end of the world, and what it would be like. There have been an abundance of movies, both secular and Christian, regarding the end of the world, yet most of them are inaccurate. So what is the end? Is it defined by some particular cataclysmic event? Or is it some act of divine peace amongst all people of the world, restoring a sense of the original utopia? Does it happen over time or instantaneously? In this lesson, I will, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, try to bring clarity to these and other questions in minds of people, both secular and Christian. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, Jesus' disciples ask him about the end of the world. It reads, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus then begins to tell them of the signs that would be evident during the end times in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 14, which says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. and then shall the end come. We see from this text of Scripture that the end of the world will follow these particular events. Now, this statement poses a problem, which is that Jesus said that there would be an end to the world, yet in Isaiah chapter 45, verses 17 and Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, it says that the world would be without end. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, which reads, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." So, which one is right? Is it the world going to end or not? The answer to this is the understanding of two key words, which are world and end. The Greek word for end is suntilation, meaning forever, an unbroken age, perpetuity of time, eternity, the world, universe, period of time. This gives us clarity regarding what was being asked by the disciples. They were not asking about the destruction of the planet, rather the end of a time period or age. Even when Jesus answered, he did not say that the end of the earth was coming. Rather, the end shall come. Matthew chapter 24 talks about the end of the tribulation period, omitting the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on earth, showing that age and its rulers were to come to an end, or this world system. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 4 tells us about the everlasting continuity of the planet. It reads, "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." From this we can conclude that the planet does not come to an end, rather the world's system and the age will come to an end. Things as we know it will end. The lives of people will end. Many governments will end. Yet the earth will never end. Although the earth will never end, there will be an end to the way things are. Many people live life as if there is no end and no time of accountability. They think that they will always have time. Man had originally sinned around 6,000 years ago, and God has been patient with man regarding the correction of what was done and the ultimate penalty. Yet over many millennium, man has lived as if this issue was to never be addressed, or as if it would have no conclusion or ending. time as we know it, and the world is coming to an end. So many of the signs of the end are here today. They are evident all around us. But just 30 years ago, some of these things would be unheard of. Yet today, we are so close to the end or the beginning of the end. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ gave some pre-end signs. In addition to those listed in Matthew chapter 24, there are some others. One sign that we can look at in the church is a strong declaration of righteousness. For the work of the church will end in righteousness. Romans chapter 9 verse 28 says, "For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." Another sign that the end is near is that of the preaching of the gospel throughout the world. Again, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Only in the last few years has this been possible. With the advent of the great tools of communication, such as telephones, televisions, the internet, and written press, the gospel has been preached in all the world. The Bible also gives us insight into the pre-end signs. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, which says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and holy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." These attitudes are so prevalent today that it would seem that when this was written, it was by someone who had come to our time, saw what was going to happen, and then went back in time to declare what was up ahead. Nature will declare the coming of the end. Nature will begin to declare the nearness of the end. It will begin to function differently or out of order, where the patterns that once were predictable are now unpredictable, causing devastation in many parts of the world simultaneously. Earthquakes are at an all-time high. The heavens above are giving us signs through the increase of tornadoes, hurricanes, excessive rain in some areas, a lack of rain in other areas causing famine. All of this is happening now. Luke chapter 21, verse 11 and 25 to 26 says, "And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places." Take a short break and come right back. great earthquake shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Increase in knowledge and increased travel. Another pre-end sign is the increase of knowledge and the increase in travel. In the book of Daniel chapter 12 verse 4, this sign is given regarding the last days. It reads, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased with the invention over the last 100 years, man has been able to travel easily, including going to space. We have cars, trains, planes, and boats that give people an easy ability to run to and fro or travel all about. Also, knowledge shall increase near the time of the end. In the last few years, we have surpassed all of the knowledge that was gained for the last 6,000 years. The increase of knowledge is phenomenal. Some say that human knowledge, an average, doubles within every 5 years. As we endeavor to gain an understanding of what the body of Christ calls the rapture, we must gain clarity regarding the two very different stages of Jesus Christ's second coming, thus bringing an end to the world system. Many combine the two stages of the second coming of Jesus Christ, not realizing that they are two very distinct things with two very different purposes. The first stage of his second coming happens approximately 7 years before the second stage. The first stage or part is called the rapture or the appearing, and its purpose is to catch or take out the true believer in Jesus Christ. Before the world plunges into the worst time that it has ever known, called the tribulation period, the tribulation period is a time of great trials that will come upon the people of the world because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. During the rapture, Jesus does not actually come on the earth. Rather, he comes in the atmosphere or heavens and calls for the true Christians. The tribulation period, the next thing on the prophetic calendar after the rapture of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the tribulation period. When Jesus Christ was on the Mount of Olives, and gave explanation of those things that would be a sign of his coming, he told them that there would be great tribulation. Matthew chapter 24, verse 26. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Jesus Christ declared that this would be the worst time in human history. The word tribulation in the Greek is tiphys, meaning pressure, afflicted, anguish, burden, persecution, tribulation, and trouble. The tribulation will be a period of great persecution and affliction for all of humanity, 7 years long. During the tribulation period, the wrath of God shall be poured out upon people on the earth because of their sin and rejection of God's loved gift of Jesus Christ. The wrath of God will be in the form of 21 different judgments. These 21 judgments are broken into three different categories. The seal judgments have 7. The trumpet judgments have 7. And the vial judgments have 7. These judgments will be a horrific experience for all of those who do not go in the rapture and will be here to go through them. Let us examine the judgments. The Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is the final battle during the tribulation period, wherein all the kings of the earth are gathered to battle against God. The location of this battle will be in a place called the Valley of Megiddo, which is in the plains of Jezreel, Israel. Here we have Jesus as the rider of the white horse coming to the Battle of Armageddon. This is literally the second coming of Jesus Christ. His judgment will be in complete righteousness. His eyes were as a flame of fire, representing his wonderful glory and precise judgment. The name that no man knew represents the mystery of his greatness. The crowns on his head speak of complete power, sovereignty, and authority in every possible realm. The vesture dipped in blood is not his blood on Calvary. Rather, it represents the judgment of those who are his enemies. The armies in heaven are made up of the raptured church, Old Testament saints, the blood-washed multitudes, and the heavenly angels. The sharp sword that comes from his mouth and smite the nations is some type of weapon that is of heavenly origin. On his vesture, robe, or garment, and his thigh was written what the crowns stood for: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the great King who is above everything and all other kings, and he is Lord over all other lords. Another angel cries with a loud voice to the fowls to gather themselves to the supper of the great God. This is not the marriage feast of the Lamb. The flesh of all those who war against Jesus Christ will be eaten by these fowls. The beast, the Antichrist, and all the kings and their armies gathered together here to fight against Jesus Christ. This is a last-ditch effort to stop Jesus Christ from taking his right position as ruler. Yet it fails. The end of this battle represents the end of the world that Jesus Christ was referring to in Matthew chapter 24. From all that we read about in this lesson, we can deduce that the end will happen in stages. We will see the signs, as we do already. Then the church will be raptured away, followed by the tribulation period and the return of Jesus Christ at the Battle of Armageddon. God's purpose in allowing these signs and other signs that follow is to restore relationship with man, to reconcile man back to himself, which is God. He doesn't want man to face a punishment for sin, which is eternal death in hell and the lake of fire. The tribulation period is a mercy to man in order to cause him to seek the Lord so that they will not perish eternally. The end of the world as we know it seeks right into an eternal beginning. And so it can be said, the end and now the eternal beginning.
For the price you paid, there is.
Heavenly Father, I come to you as your child, bought out of slavery to sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Lord of the universe and the Lord of my life. I submit my body to you as a living and holy sacrifice. May you be glorified through my life and body. I now ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I commit myself to the renewing of my mind in order that I may prove that your will is good, acceptable, and perfect for me. I desire nothing more than to be like you. I pray, believe, and do all this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I now take my stand against Satan and command him and all his evil spirits to depart from me. I choose to put on the full armor of God, so that I may be able to stand firm against all the devil's scheme. Father, I thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to come into your presence. As your child, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to the end of this lesson tonight, we would like to encourage you to write to us at House of Christ Ministries, Inc., P.O. Box 30371, Elmont, New York, 11003. Or you could email us at HODminister prayerchannel@gmail.com. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you all. God bless you. I'm your host, Reverend Donald Davis. Good night.